Because you are that, so you can go into and help people and perform your job duties. Like Maharaj says, you can have meetings, you can do your job, do your duties, but you don't take the touch, your presence. And if someone at the other end of the table is bothering your beingness, so to speak, and your mind starts to churn a little bit, just remain with presence. Presence is the one that's speaking in both bodies. So how can you sit there and say, oh, this person is irritating me? This person doesn't exist. Neither do another person that you believe yourself to be exist. You're formless. The subtle sense of presence, or as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remaining with the I am, reminds you, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. This body-based illusion that I am currently experiencing is not true because I'm not a body. And therefore, it's a transient thing. It comes and goes. But you're the one to whom it comes and goes because you're formless. It's all appearing within you. You're not body. You really aren't. So this is just a long dream. The illusion of experience brought about by the body-based existence is a temporary thing. You are not temporary because you're the one to whom this appears. I mean, think about, just try and conceptually think about formlessness as we talk about the space in this room. Nothing is actually like, there's no separation. The space outside, the space inside, there's the appearance of this wall, just like the appearance of this body, but space is space, sky is sky. Presence is presence. Presence animates this body and that body and all these bodies, but you're formless. You never were a form. You never are a form. You can't take form. There is nothing. You are that which has no attributes. Now, as soon as there's identification with form and the illusion of the body-based existence, then attributes pile on. Many attributes pile on. I am Indian. I am an American. I am Russian. I am Chinese. I believe this religion. I don't like that religion. This religion is wrong. All these things are only attributes that came along with the body-based illusion, which is not true. So, and what's even more insane about us trying to say, I like this and I don't like that, is all of your likes and dislikes were told to you by other people. You were told, oh, Rami, you should not like this. Or Rami, you should be very proud to be Indian. But none of these things, these are all attributes that were added on after the illusion of the body-based existence. So know yourself as formless, and then you're not Indian or dark skin or light skin. This is a covering. It's like I wear a black shirt today, I wear a white shirt tomorrow. It's the same. It's a cover. You're formless. You're not white or black or India or America. That's why Maharaj, all the time, he jokes about, does Chinese sky make war with America sky? Or does India sky all say, oh, I want to be friends with, no, nobody, nothing, nothing. Sky is sky, no separation. And there is no American sky, India sky, sky is sky. I remember standing out on the balcony with Maharaj after he had talked, and I was standing with some other devotees, and I looked up at the India sky, and I said, surely, yes, sky is sky. Like now, I have seen, quote, India sky. It's sky. You know, because if you hadn't seen it, maybe you would say, okay, well, American sky and India sky. But you're standing in India looking at the sky, sky is sky. You know, you're in America, you look up at the sky, sky is sky. There's no separation, there's no lines. Even out in the space, there's no states. If you were to look at the United States, we give this, we put all these attributes where they're not needed, and they're not. That because you're formless. And you know you're formless through the subtle sense I exist, the subtle sense I am, the subtle sense of presence, the consciousness, whatever you want to call it. Once you know this sense of presence, this consciousness, then you know that everything is appearing and disappearing within this consciousness, including the body form that you at one time thought was yourself, which now you know without any doubt, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Even Maharaj appeared within that consciousness, which is this presence, as a form that consciousness created and took for a time to tell consciousness in this form, you are not body. Therefore, when Maharaj says, see yourself as formless and there will be no separation, it's an instantaneous, oh, yes, this presence. This is the subtle presence, the formlessness that's creating all of this. Everything is inside this bubble of illusion. Everything you've ever known, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, all the people you've known, all your beliefs are within the bubble of illusion, and it's temporary. Only while you're holding this body will you experience the body-based illusion of existence. And it's a temporary thing. Then you won't experience the body-based existence, but the one who is the experiencer still remains, because there'd just be no experience, but you are.
The presence you have been mentioning, so it's nowhere comprehensible to the thought. It's not even the silence being experienced when there is no thought or when there is no identification.
It's beyond words. I don't know. It's like a...
Even beyond all
like
experience.
Like trance, sort of, you could say. Like Maharaj says, it's like samadhi, this trance. But it's trance without someone to experience the trance. And that's just your normal state. When you're in this body-based existence and you know yourself in a real sense, it's a subtle presence. And just for today, let's forget about this word presence and use the word consciousness, because we could talk about the consciousness in the same way as the dream. When you're laying down, consciousness, everything is within this consciousness, this subtle consciousness that's creating everything. And then when you wake up, this consciousness is there, but it's now creating the waking world. And it's the same one. It's just due to identification that you believe I am sleeping, I am dreaming. But there is just consciousness. And you can sense this using the body form. Just I, just I. I without anything. All these attributes, nothing, 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 nothing.
You know, even the pure silence appears that it's still reality, because it appears that who is the one seeing this silence?
Right. Silence is within the bubble of illusion. It's an attribute, basically. Silence. And then you have the duality of noise. Noise appearing within silence. It's duality. And there's an experiencer of both. So... nothing, formless, no movement.
But nothing isn't what we think of that nothing is. I mean, when I think of nothing, I have a certain image of what nothing is.
Because you're thinking that there's the experience of nothing, but there's no experience, no experiencer. It's not like, oh, I'm going to leave the body and there's nothing, and I'm going to be experiencing nothing for all eternity. There's no experiencer. No one to experience the nothing. The nothing that you are. Like, and you know this because this something appeared in that nothing. This body-based illusion, this body-based existence, this illusion of experiencing only came with the body. And when the body is no more, because the essence cannot be this body cannot sustain the essence, then there's no experience, no experiencer, and no experience of not experiencing. There's nothing. But nobody to know the nothing, because the nothing is. It's the isness that everything else has appeared.
So the nothing is actual, but it's not what you think actuality is.
Well, there's no thinking because there's nothing. And nothing isn't, again, see, the egoistic mind trying to get conceptually nothing can say, well, I don't want nothing, but nothing you are. So, oh, there's no experience of the nothing because you are that. And like Maharaj says, and in your own experience, you will see, prior to beingness, there was no experience of anything. After leaving the body, there's no experience of anything. And yet, that nothing is where this something appeared.
Something is isness, right?
Do what?
Isness or amness. I am.
Well, the isness is your the formlessness, and there's a stirring, subtly I exist, and world is projected. And then within this world, there's Rami and Kathleen and Trish and Kumar and Andrew and myself and Manohar. All of these are within that I exist. Existence, boom, a dream world is projected. We are all in the dream world. We call it the waking world because right now we believe that this body is awake and that we are this body that experiences the dream state, the waking state, and the deep sleep state. But that's not true. There are no states because there's nothing. When there's the appearance of something, then you can have attributes. But the something that's appearing is only a temporary. It appears from nothing and goes back to nothing. And there's no fear of this because the nothing is not experienced. Like I've watched TV shows before too, where they say like, oh, you know, it's like darkness and a void and that's forever. But there's no one to experience this because there's nothing other than this one that is and that you are.
So then there is nothing apart from that at any time, any point of time, or at any place.
Correct. Each one of us, as we call ourselves, are points in consciousness to view, basically, a viewport into the conscious dream, the dream state. Just like when you're sleeping, you're seeing yourself from the perspective of being a dream character and looking.
Identifying myself with the dream character and taking the dream as the reality.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And it's a long dream because it will only be around as long as you're having this body-based experience, which is the illusion of being a body. And even when you know you're not a body, the body-based existence is still here. You're just no longer, you know, Maya or whatever you want to call it, this unreality of reality. You're seeing, still you'll see the same, but you know yourself as formless. Instead of believing yourself to be an object within the world, you know the world is within you. And you're peering like this is a telescope to see inside yourself.
So the realization or enlightenment means there is no longer identifying with the any false concept.
Correct. Well, it's but presence, like you know yourself, this presence as you cultivate, meaning you remain with presence, remain with the I am, consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence. And it everything dissolves. And that's why Maharaj says, you know yourself in a real sense. And that's it. Game over. And yet you can still do your job, do your duties, go outside, take a walk in the beautiful nature. You can feel the wind on you while you're having this body and you're holding it and look. But at the same time, you don't worry about, like you were talking about, if I fill out this form, will I get to go and do my PhD or will I get this or what? No, it'll be, I fill out this form. I forget about this basically because it's no longer my immediate experience right in front of me. And then a couple of weeks later, I get a letter that says, ah, you got granted this. Please go and get your picture taken. And without any kind of attachment or anything, you go, you stand, get your picture taken. Before you know it, you're on a plane coming to America and doing your studies. And it's just right in front of you. And it's the same as picking up the water, drinking it, and putting it down. There's no touch, no entanglement. And still you can study, because you don't need a you to study. Studying is happening. And you know that everything is within myself. You don't have to tell people this either, because you know, you go there and, oh, you seem very spiritual. Oh yes, because I'm always within myself. No, because you're speaking to your own self, and you would actually be disparaging yourself to tell yourself that you know yourself. And how to get yourself in another form to know themselves, to listen to you.
No, this sounds like there's an ego in there.
Yes, exactly. Because as soon as you, and see, and that's why Maharaj says, fall into the ditch. There's spontaneous speaking without any knowledge of there being anyone speaking or anyone listening. You're talking to yourself.
I find it fascinating that love somehow is involved as sort of like a freedom from. It's like when you're not touched, when you're not being touched by what you think you know and limited type stuff. It seems like there's a feeling of freedom and love there that is unexplained. It's like it's selflessly existing, kind of.
Well, see, with love, you have a lot of duality because you have to love something. There's the lover and the beloved or whatever. But
what about unconditional love, though?
But see, this is another concept. Unconditional love is trying to point to the reality that you are everything and everyone. And there is no pushing anyone away because there's no point on the map in which to identify your own self.
That's what I mean. When I feel unconditional love, it's like I interpret that as when I see that I am everything and everyone.
And that you don't exist, that you're merely a looking inside this bubble of illusion, that this is like a tube and that's it. And you're looking inside the bubble of illusion and everything is the same because it's all within yourself. And good things can happen and bad things can happen, but they're neither good nor bad. They're just happenings. They're just things appearing and disappearing before you. And as long as you have this body and this existence, this illusion of existing, this illusion of experiencing, then you can play and enjoy, but there's nothing. So you're not pushing anything away, nor are you grabbing anything, because everything is your own self. You could say you're nothing and everything, but in between the two, there's no knowing of either.
But it feels like a sense of being, though, of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, the subtle sense of being, just I, just I. And the just I, the presence, consciousness. I said I wasn't going to use the word presence, but presence is, to me, it's just presence because like Maharaj says, you can feel it. While you're with this body form, you can use this body to dip into the nectar of immortality and just sip. Just selfless self-intoxication. There's no knowing of anything but your own self.
And it seems like a more, almost more substantial than other experience, you know.
It's a different experience because it erases all experience. Like once you know this, once you remain with this sense of presence, you're going to see, it's going to kind of evolve and there'll be nothing. And you'll just remain with the sense of presence. And as you meditate, presence with presence with presence, you'll understand that the body is just a medium, just an instrument for presence, to meditate on presence, consciousness with consciousness, and it erases then this need for a go-between, because it seems like duality. I wish to be in this presence, but it's not a duality because it's presence with presence, using this body as a medium to know yourself in a real sense. And once this is known, it dissolves everything.
So though you feel it as real, I mean, and then
when you become one with it.
Yeah.
Like the only time that you can sit there in the body-based existence, you're able to feel presence if you concentrate on the concentrator. But after a while, you are the presence and there is no more go-between. So the only time that you'd like feel presence is like right now. You can sit and feel it, just like the air, just like anything. There, it's this very deepness, this expansion, this presence. And the only reason you're able to experience that is because of the body-based illusion. The body-based illusion of experience. But you, there's no experiencer, no experience, because all of this is the appearance within the nothing. When the body is no longer able to provide this body-based illusion of experience, then there will be no experience, no experiencer. There's nothing, but there won't be an experiencer of nothing. That is, you are. There's nothing but your own selfless self.
Will there still be being constant bliss?
No. Who's going to feel this? There's nothing. There's no attributes. There's nothing because you're everything. So there's nothing above you to measure yourself. Like right now you can say, okay, I feel the presence in this body form. Therefore, I know I am. I know I exist. Now I look at this existence. Who am I? And okay, I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Of course, the thoughts, I'm not. The mind, I'm not. So now you are. Where all experience ends, there you are.
So is any... How do you know then nothing or like everything is a lie? Then it would seem that even
I wouldn't say lie, I would say false, because nothing is true, and that's why Maharaj says, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. God is a name that was given to that you are, Brahman is a name that was given to that you are, which was not known until the illusion of experience in the body-based existence. And you said, oh, there is a God. I worship this God. And now that you know yourself in a real sense, it's selfless self-devotion, consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence. And it erases the need for the duality or a medium and to know yourself. Use this body, as Maharaj says, you sit with meditation, and presence is meditating on presence. The concentrator, concentrate on the concentrator. And this is just a tool to know yourself. And after the tool has done its job, so to speak, now you know yourself in a real sense, then that's dissolved. Any concept that you are this thing that you were using to know yourself is dissolved. I am not this thing. I'm not. And yet, I can, my hand is here. I pick up a phone. I know that that's a phone because I'm in the body-based illusion of experience.
So even when I feel like I'm a selfless presence, or not that I am, or it is kind of like I am.
This I am. Presence. That presence, invisible, anonymous, but, unidentified identity.
But it feels like it doesn't have an object or it seems self, like substantial in its own self or something.
Well, prior to being this, you did not know yourself. When the spirit clicked with the body and you said, I, that was the first knowing of existence. Oh, look at this. And then the false concept is, I exist as this body. And these other bodies are telling me I'm a body. And they've slapped the label on this body called John. And then John does good things and John does bad things. And good job, John. Bad job, John. And then suddenly John is getting the sense of doership. And then the sense of doership creates, I'm living a life. I have to do these things in my life. I have to move forward in my life. These are these things. And like Rami was saying about the college, I have to make something of myself. I have to put all my energies into making something of myself. And then I have fear that I'm not making something of myself. But the truth then, after, basically after the worldly existence is burned out, and you want more, there has to be something more, this eternal quest of there has to be something more. And then you start to look into spirituality and you read the books. And the books say, you're not body, that there's something called Brahman and that you are. And so then this starts to kind of infiltrate and you want more of this and you look more into this spirituality and you start to maybe do some prayers and you start to have this concept of this power or this God. And as you go deeper and deeper within this, then if you are blessed, you will find a guru. And this guru will basically tell you, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. But the guru is an appearance within your own self, telling your own self that appears as you, you are not body. If you've done the work, so to speak, and you know yourself, even this subtle presence, and see you know the presence because your attention is put on presence, because all the spiritual books talk about presence and how to meditate and be with your own self. And it, now some of the books will put you a lot of, like Maharaj says, this chakra and that chakra and all that. You'll eventually lead to your own self, even with all this chakra stuff, because eventually you'll tire of that. Just like Nisargadatta Maharaj, many of the folks that were doing these chakras and Kundalini yoga and all this stuff, they would come to him and say, well, I've been doing that for like 10 years. And he would say, so what about it? Oh, you know, I get a little bit of peace. No. Okay, well, now you're here. And let me just tell you that you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. You are that. I am that. There is nothing but that. And then you have to experience for your own self. That's the most beautiful thing. The books tell you, the guru tells you. And now what is the guru? What does Sri Ramakant Maharaj tell? Remain with your selfless self.
So are you experiencing nothing at that point? Or like,
At which point?
When you see yourself in a real sense.
You're experiencing a subtle sense of presence. Just I without anything. When you meditate with your own self, when you remain with your selfless self, the concentration on the concentrator, the mantra, which erases slowly, silently, and permanently all the illusory layers on presence, then this invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity that you are, the selfless self, presence, is felt subtly at first. But again, the more you remain with your selfless self, the more you just, it grows. And it's not that it's growing, because the experience is, and I remember telling Maharaj, I feel like I'm expanding into the ashram. During this bhajan, I felt myself just expanding. No. It's a feeling of expansion from the mind-body position, but in the reality, it's the dissolving of the mind-body and the knowing yourself in a real sense, which is all of everything, because formless presence that you are, your essence is in every being.
And that's time. Okay, please. Go ahead.
Sure, please go ahead. I'll ask. Please go ahead.
I was just saying that it's like a timeless experience.
And then you throw away the experiencer.
And the
you don't have to throw it away. You dissolve the experiencer.
And the timelessness remains? Or?
When you say timelessness, I can only say that your experience, so to speak, will be scenes. Scenes passing before you. Just like channel surfing the world, basically. There's no hooks to put you any place. Just like we've talked about before, all of this is occurring. We're speaking and everything. This will turn off, and then there'll be some new other scene.
So it sounds like it's like something and nothing at the same time.
Something but nothing at the same time. Within the body-based existence, that does not leave you. Like, even though you know you're not a body, there are scenes. But now, it's like Maharaj says, you take the touch lightly as if you're an actor on a stage. You don't have to keep saying, oh, I'm an actor on a stage, acting the part of my life. But you can know that it's just a scene. They're just scenes. Whether the scene be at work or the scene be outside walking.
Something has to be free of the scene to see the scene.
Or you could consider yourself as just two eyes without any body form behind it. There is seeing, but there's no one that's a, quote, seer. You're not seeing.
Right.
There's
right.
These scenes.
I know what that, I sort of know what you mean by that. I know what you're, but it seems like, so what I'm trying to get at is Brahman, well, I know Brahman can be considered a concept also, but.
Absolutely.
But also at the same time, you're saying that Brahman is real.
No, I'm saying, except your selfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatma,
okay,
no master.
Okay, yeah.
All of those things, all those labels came about in the body-based illusion and were told as concepts and labels for that you are, because you are everything.
So
when all the people go and pray in church, and they hold their hands up to feel the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff, that is your own selfless self. But not to get egoistic, because all of the praying is occurring within your selfless self, just like sky or space. If at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. Positionless, formless.
But sometimes this Arghadatta refers to being with a capital B. So is that what the selfless self would be? Like,
being is the subtle sense of presence. I am. Being this or that is I am somebody else. That's not the truth. I am is just I exist. And even the I exist is not exactly correct, because the only way you know of this existence, of course you exist, but you know this existence through the body-based illusion. Whether you know you exist or you don't know you exist. Because in order to know you exist,
body's
you have
needed.
To have existed. Do what?
Body are the experiences needed to say that
yes.
I experienced this.
Prior to beingness, you did not know yourself. You knew nothing, but there was nothing to know, nor were there any needs. That's why Maharaj says, all needs, all requirements came along with the body. Prior to beingness, there were no needs. There were no concepts. There were no need to get rid of concepts, because there were no concepts. There was no need to know yourself, because you're it. Like, there's nothing else. There's nothing for you to experience, because there's nothing other. I'm sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say it's like deep sleep.
Yeah, basically. And the dream is when the I exist mixes with the consciousness, and boom, an illusory dream state mm-hmm. is created. And the same is occurring now. And after this body, then there won't be. Just like in the dream, when you wake up, the entire dream civilization is gone. And you probably won't see those people again. Like Maharaj says, you can't pick the same dream night after night. So where did they go?
Well, in this case, it would make total sense to resist death.
Resist death?
Yeah.
Who's going, Who's going to resist death and who's dying?
Because
how can you die?
Because, well, if love is only in the experience and you love love, I mean, I love love. I love the beauty, the
most concept.
Most of all, I love the expansion I get when I feel like I'm a self and conceptless. That's yes. Like the greatest love I can experience.
And hold on to that because you love yourself. You don't love anyone else because there is no one else.
So if you're loving your own self. If I need a body for that to be, then I would say it's better for me to resist death. Otherwise, I won't be able to be that.
But it's all false. It's all transient. It's all coming and going. You're not coming and going. You see, this is where that egoistic sense comes in and believes that there's something that's real in this, that I'm losing something. There's nothing to lose because it's just like your dream characters. You could say that tonight when you're dreaming, the characters that are enjoying the park, they are just absolutely, totally at peace. And they want to resist you waking up. Matter of fact, you go to wake up, they're going to protest.
Well, that machine keeps snoring.
Yeah. I mean, how? And how would they protest? And how would that protestation affect you? Nothing. Because they don't exist. They're not. They're nothing. And at the same time, you could say, oh, but I know myself and all this. Well, there's the continuation of the dream. There's you are. Like, everything is appearing within you. Whether this body is here or not does not stop existence from existing. Because everything in this body-based illusion is false. You'll know this. Even sitting on your deathbed, so to speak, the doctor says, oh, you're going to die. You remain with your selfless self, and you will have the experience of leaving. You will have the experience of, I am losing my sense of existing, because that knows, there's the knowingness is dissolving, but the knowingness that's dissolving is known. And that's why they talk about the end, so to speak. That you are, it's the most blissful, because you're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am everything. This whole, I was never born. I am never dying. I am having the experience of dissolving the experience. And that'll be the last experience, because that's the last thing that anything could be in relation to something other. Slowly waking up. And having the dream fade, but knowing that it's fading and that you were dreaming.
So would you say that was, is that the ultimate waking up, or is that the ultimate sleep?
That's the ultimate waking up, because you're dreaming right now. You're dreaming that you're Keith, and that Keith is separate and autonomous from the dream somehow.
Yeah, because I'm keep getting deeper into this, and I feel like I know what you're talking about. It just seems to me there's something more than nothing. I don't know.
Well, there's nothing because there's nothing other, and there's no one to experience the nothing because there's nothing to experience. You are. And again, remember the last kind of. The way the egoistic mind grabs onto the cliff, so to speak, is it tries to give you the projection of, you mean my life meant nothing? Like, it didn't matter what I did or how long I was doing it? Because this is something that is being held onto falsely, but can really cause trouble. Just like a lot of people will say, when I'm meditating, I hit this void. And I freak out because I don't want to experience nothing. But the void you are experiencing, and whether the void is there or not, the experiencer is. The experiencer is experiencing the something within the nothing that you are. When this something is no longer there, because it arose and then it subsides and there's nothing. And so you don't want to take the touch of, my life meant nothing. and I'm leaving behind this beautiful world. But this is just like dreaming. You're not leaving behind anything. You were not born. You cannot die. What was born is a lump of goo, and you attached yourself through the knowingness that arose as I am this, and you watched this body then grow, just like a vegetable. It grows in the garden, and so this body grows. You feed it, you water it. This is a food body. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, Ramakrishna Maharaj says, you put food in, it grows. This body is completely made of the food that you've eaten and the drinks that you've drank, the water and such, and that's it. It's just a lump of goo. But yet you've attached yourself to that lump of goo and said, it's me, but it's not.
That's all limited stuff. But
all limited.
Yeah, but I am the real me or whatever is unlimited. But correct. It's being unlimited, it's nothing in particular. But it's presence. It's like...
presence only within the body-based illusion do you know yourself as this subtle sense of presence. Without this body as a medium to kind of have presence with presence, then you are, but there's nothing else. And you're not experiencing that there's nothing else, because that would be like a dead zone where it's like, oh, it's just
me. Dead zone.
Nothing else. Nothing. No, but there's no experiencer of nothing because you are that. There's only an experiencer of something because you were there for this experience of something to appear.
So that would be what Nisargadatta means by being with a big B?
Again, being with a big B, you can talk absolute. Absolute would be the nothing, the substratum or whatever, the nothing. But there had to be something in the nothing that experienced the something. You see, this something appeared in nothing. That to whom it appeared sees this something. When this something is no more, that one that saw something now sees nothing, but is all of everything. So there's nothing other.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best example, the space in the room.
So you don't want to put words on it, or basically.
Well, you can't really, because all the words came along with the conceptualization of being a body and describing things from that point. Perfect example, space in the room. This is a dead body. Space in the room clicks with this body, looks and says, I exist, and looks around at all the things. Now, of course, all these things were not known, but were within this space with the illusion I exist, and now I'm having an experience that I'm here and things are there. And there's other things there. And I can eat things because I'm a thing now. But it's the space. I forget that I'm the space in the room. Imagine if the space in the room clicked with the body. There wasn't a forgetting. There was an opening of the eyes and saying, wow, all of this is within myself. And seemingly, I'm now within this form. And yet also this form is within me. Huh. So everything I do with this form that's within me, no matter how it appears, will be untrue because it's all appearing within my selfless self.
And it's still everything you see or experience does change, which in a sense means it's limitless too, because if something changes, it can have a limit to be just one particular thing.
Well, but if something changes, there's someone that knew all the states of the change. The invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity that clicks with the body witnessed change. The perfect example is this body, when you were a little kid, you watch this body then grow up. You had to shave, and there was a time for shaving, and then loss of hair and such. All these things were occurring to this body. So these changes were seen. You did not change along with the body. The formlessness that you are, the seeing, did not change. It witnessed the changes, but the changes couldn't be witnessed if the witness was changing along with the experiences. It couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
you would not be able to register change unless there was something changeless.
Mm-hmm. Normally, the identification, is there a point in the, you know, the so-called consciousness? So like this body, local identification.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe after a certain point of a time, it may become one with the everything in this consciousness. But even that is also an illusion.
Yeah, because if you're experiencing yourself as one with everything, then there's a duality of experiencing one with everything. You are still everything.
The experience is there.
Yes, as long as you're within the body-based illusion of experience, you're experiencing. You'll also experience the non-experience. In reality, there's no experience, no experiencer, because there's nothing except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. Nothing to compare, nothing to say, I am this thing, or even there is an I. There is no I because I is everything.
There is nothing apart from mine, as you mentioned.
And even nothing, we don't want to have the concept of nothing because there's no experiencer of nothing. Nothing is that you are. Where all experience ends, there you are. And be happy, 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 happy. Knowing this, what can bother you? Come on now. Even the television, as horrible as some of the things are going on. Okay, well, you know. It's a long dream. I just remain with my selfless self.
Well, it's 8:14.
Oh, yes it is. Very great. Thank you. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you very much.
I would like to thank you for, you know, adding the videos and the subtitles.
Oh, yes.
Sharing the emails. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
absolutely. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody.
Yeah.